WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the springtime, and we're gonna be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have a whole schedule. My gosh, I'm east, I'm west, I'm north, I'm south. Like Barry Mantle, I'm up, I'm down, I'm all around. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away these instant lottery scratch-offs. We're going to be at State Fair on Friday in the afternoon. Bill Wedell from CFG Bank will be in. We'll be talking about Janet Jackson and Anita Baker and Mother's Day. And let's see, Brian Adams, Joan Jett, John Mayer, Barry Manilow, Lionel Richie, Earth, Wind & Fire, all the shows I'm going to all summer long. Chris Stapleton, all coming to the CFG Bank Arena. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, we're going to be promoting our friends at Window Nation. I got to wear the fun hat with Pete Carinci last week down in Essex at McFalls. So we'll be doing that. 866-90-NATION. Go get those windows. And of course, if you need commercial roofing, everybody gives me shirts, Bill. Nobody gives me, you're the only one to give me a mug. So the Royal Farms coffee in the cold roofing mug, as usual around here. Dude, I'm going to be on your side of town, where you live, where you work, where you play. We're going to be on the 23rd. We're at the local up in Falston. I think you know about Falston, right? So we're going to be all
Certainly
around.
know about the local.
You know about the local, do
Certainly.
you?
Oh yeah, sure.
Award-winning Restaurant Association of
Yeah.
Maryland said Chef of the Year, all that stuff. So, dude, the Crab Cake Tour is rocking. Where the hell have you been, man? Like, what are you? Have you been on roofs or something? Where have you been?
Admittedly, I probably have just been on soccer and lacrosse fields, so you know that's kind of
I have an
consumed my
excuse.
life.
I was at Maui.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was a good excuse.
Mine are more like Carroll County and Howard County and Prince George's County, and so playing a lot of lacrosse and soccer, and none of which is local. So
What
it's
should I
all an
know
out
about this
LA.
as someone whose kid might be making grandkids at some point, and I may have some interest in all of this. I'm fascinated. I had Larry Stewart on this week, right? Who is just took the coppin job. He's worked at Morgan. He's worked in college basketball, waiting to get this job forever. Legendary player, played in the NBA for 5 years, played professionally for almost 20 years overseas, Spain, Portugal. And I'm thinking to myself, he's out recruiting kids. That this is like a different thing than he would recognize. And he's my age, which is why I bring it up. Born in 1968. He spent his whole life in it. Dude, I am so far removed from coaching Beano Ransom in middle school basketball at Rosedale Middle, or having my dad and I coached a little league team. And every time I talk to anyone who's involved at the collegiate level or NIL, or Pete Carinci was out last week talking about his 50 years of doing this with kids, it's just like how handled every kid is and how every parent has to put a lot of money out, no matter what the sport is, to travel around. Like, it's a full-time gig. I don't say stage parenting, but it's no longer what it was for me in Little League, which was my dad having the equipment in the shed with the helmets and the bats, and we would carry it up to the schoolyard on Monday and Wednesday, or Tuesday and Thursday, sometimes a Saturday, opening day, and we'd have a snowball stand. And it kind of all got done between 5 and 9, 2 nights a week, within 3 blocks of my house. And maybe we made travel, or All-Stars or whatever. But this is a different gig for kids. Every spring I see it with everybody I know who's our age, but my kid's 38. Your kids are 15, man.
Yeah, I think the challenge is that the professional sports and the undersized guy and who made it anyway, the Steve Nash, right? Like people like that who don't fit the exact mold give every parent hope. And even if you are try to be somewhat realistic about it and you back down your expectation, like as
Well, maybe she'll
my
go to Gettysburg or Salisbury. Did
Well,
you start with that, or?
I'm no, not even there. I mean, for us, all I'm trying to do is give my kids a chance to make a high school team if that's what they want to do.
And the grades are the most, like, what you're going to be in life is not a lacrosse player.
Right. So,
But
but
that's different if you're dribbling a basketball, though, right?
I think it's totally different for all the circumstances. I mean, in our case, like, I just want them to experience that high school team concept, and you know, hey, look, it also helps them stay out of trouble. Maybe they're not interested in boys, you know, like we could go do this other stuff over here. And then it takes a life of its own, and then there's a lot of characters involved, and you know, you got to kind of figure out whether they're good or not so good and what their intentions are. And And nobody really wants to communicate or talk or be honest. So it's a whole different level
Well,
of
all of this,
like
parents, is my kid going to
drama
play? And
and
how much is my kid going
yeah.
to play? And how much is we going to pay? And how many nights a week? And Bill, I'll bring this full circle and we could talk more about your kids and rec ball and A, whatever's club and all of that league and all of that. But as it re relates to the Orioles and you and I in 1980, 90, whatever it was, and Cal Ripken, or whether it was Eddie Murray, or whatever generation, Boog Powell, right? Pick your generation, but the attention span of people and what baseball has done for old guys. I was with a bunch of old guys, and I'll tell Todd Foreman and Bill Yerman that they're old guys. But I was at Acostas the other night. Bucky Lasek was there, and they were all like, "We like baseball again." And I'm like, "Well, you like that they're winning?" They're like, "No, we like that it starts at 6:30, it's over at 9 o'clock. Like, we like all of that." And I'm thinking, hold on. If your kid plays lacrosse, anything in the spring, maybe one of the reasons the stadium's not all that full is every kid that plays baseball really can't go to the games because they're playing ball. I mean, and maybe that'll change in July or August that when school's out and games are over and travel's done and all-stars aren't being played at Joseph Lee Fields, right? But there is part of this that I think, like, how are the Orioles going to get people back there when every athletic kid is doing something athletic with their friggin' parents, like I see on my Facebook everywhere, and they can't even figure out when they can get to their place in Ocean City if they have one.
Yeah, I don't know that this rule or that this is consistent for everybody, but I've heard many times the observation that like when we were kids, you kind of just went outside and you went and played and you were playing some kind of ball game, whatever it was, whatever you guys were into. Now everything in the kids' lives is scheduled. Like Monday we do this, Tuesday we do that, so there,
Organized as right,
yes,
yes.
yes,
Pete Carrigi used
and
that word last week because we were talking about Highland Town and soccer. And by the way, the segment with Pete Carrigi was one of the it was a highlight of the year. Not that this segment's not really good, Bill Cole, but the Pete
There's
Carrigi
still
segment
hope.
was
There's still hope.
well, I mean, Pete just told these playground stories and he talked about organized ball. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad was a community organizer politically, an umpire, lost a child. Like, was a manager, loved basketball, baseball. Like, all, my dad was that guy who was up at the rec league with, all I can name all the names: Mike Hoyt, Tom Dunai, all these people that ran the Colgate Rec Council. My dad was there for that. I was there for the drafts. I was there when they were counting the quarters from the snowball machine. Like, I remember all that as a kid. But not every neighborhood has that in 2023. And if they do, that person may have their kid pitch an all-star down in Essex or out in Rosedale or up in Parkville or wherever, over in Glen Burnie, going across the bridge. I mean, whatever. I would just say that the notion that my childhood was about organized ball because I have pictures in an Eastwood jersey with John Rollo, or that I did organize things. I played a Pop Warner football, right? At Dundalk on the Longhorns 3 years with John Rollo, right? Kind of famously, I have this giant in all my pictures, like Andre the Giant. I played so much more. 98% of the ball I played was in Rob DeBase's backyard, either playing wiffle ball, basketball, baseball, on the church lot at St. Peter's, playing football, baseball, basketball. Never soccer. I told Carinci that last week. Nobody in my neighborhood picked up a soccer ball, lacrosse ball. But the notion that kids get together and play ball, man, I never drive around and see kids playing ball. Ever, 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 not at 11 in the morning on a Tuesday in the summer, anywhere. And that's so different than what we had because none of us really wanted to play ball at night because we played all day. And then our coaches would say, Mr. Karolkowski, and Mark would, I'm 11 years old. He banned us from swimming or playing any ball on game days because he didn't want our legs not with us at 6:15 on Joseph Lee Fields when we're taking on Richie Paff, who would later play double-A ball, like Barry Stitz, who played soccer. These were the kids I competed against. And Butch was like, no swimming. I couldn't swim in my own pool on game day. That's how serious Butch took beating the Yankees in my house league in 1979.
That stuff
We
still
still lost
exists.
because I struck
I
out.
mean, we go on travel tournaments, and we're staying in a hotel with a pool, and there is strict no swimming times from our coach. That is still a thing, no doubt.
Winning's the only thing.
Right. Like I definitely played a ton of basketball as a kid, organized basketball, but I guarantee you that there were more minutes logged in somebody's driveway playing basketball than there were at the gym. I don't know, like, and that does, I don't see that and how it exists. And I don't know if that's because we intercepted them before they got a chance to get going and started introducing the organized stuff. And then all of a sudden, because they definitely start earlier. I mean, they got these lacrosse. My 10-year-old was a volunteer coach for the 2, 3, and 4-year-old lacrosse clinic last weekend, right? So we are definitely organizing them earlier. I think the problem is the old statement that, you've heard a million times, like, yeah, you're good, but right now there's some kid in Iowa working twice as hard as you. And this concept that, like, if you're not working maximum hard, there's some other kid working harder than you. And parents take that to heart. I don't know. It's becomes their social network. It's, I tell you, it is destroying, and that's probably too strong a word, but the idea that your youth sports was community based, and those were your neighbors, and those were the people that if you needed sugar, you borrowed it from. And like that was when so and so's husband died, we all went over and helped them. And like that community stuff. And that was the way it was when I was growing up too. Like those were all the kids I went to elementary school with. Those were the same kids I played baseball with, and the same kids I played, football or whatever. That is going away when, I got one kid playing for a club in Essex, and I got another kid playing for a club in Harford County,
Well, there's
and
no such
the
thing as
wife
a
and I
ringer
split
anymore,
up,
right?
and
I mean, there are no ringers. Everybody's a ringer, right?
I don't know.
By
There's
the time these kids get to be 17 years old and can figure out NIL money and they're good enough to figure out NIL money, their parents have had them handled since they were 12 to make sure they got a scholarship at Calvert Hall or Gilman or what you or wherever, or at least
Well, I
went to
don't
the right
think,
school.
yeah, I don't think people understand the NIL money yet, because the NIL money makes a real tangible return on your investment much sooner. Like if you are looking at investing in their kids, look, one of the greatest speeches I ever heard was when my son went to Calvert Hall. Lou Eckrell was the athletic director, and they had a fall sports meeting. And he brought all the parents in the auditorium, and he said, "Look, I realize how much money you have invested in your kid to get to this point. But now I need you to let go and let my coaches coach them." And it was very pointed conversation about, like the investment that parents make. So I don't think they realize at this point how closer the NIL money is. How much more available that is to more kids. I think it's only going to get worse from here, would be my observation,
Well, and
right?
then the
Because
expectation level of, like me talking to Pete the other day about UMBC and NIL money. Let soccer really catch on in this country after World Cup. And 8 years from now, my grandkids, right? Well, if he could kick a soccer ball, like, the amount of money that would be available would look like, in other sports. I'm talking about lacrosse and soccer, sports that haven't caught on. I mean, like, look at baseball in this country and what college baseball is. Like, college baseball's never really caught on. They've tried. College softball's, there might be more money in college softball because maybe more people might watch it than watch college baseball. So, like, I don't even know that, but I do know that college football and college basketball and all the money that's swirled around since Jim Valvano was, greasing players 50 years ago, like all of that is out in the open now. And I don't even know how. I talk about how coaches are going to recruit and players get in the portal and you yell at the player the wrong way and he doesn't love you anymore on Monday morning and he wants to go transfer to Richmond or whatever. College sports is going to have an identity crisis in big time in the next 5 or 10 years because I don't recognize it as a 54-year-old guy, and I've loved it most of my life, and I invested a lot in it, traveling around, going to Final Fours, like all of that. And I do see other sports, like things you're not even thinking about, like hockey. Raskin's really into the Bean Pod and the Frozen Four and all that. All the lacrosse. Their Final Four is coming up a couple weeks. Posner can't get enough of it with Maryland and people around here. So these other sports are kind of coming, and I'm smelling money. Like when Bucky Lasik was in a bowl over in East Baltimore, and next thing you know, he's living in a mansion with Tony Hawk, and nobody knew where the money came from because X Games came, and it maybe didn't affect your house, and my dad wouldn't have cared about it because he's watching the Orioles, but there's money coming in all of these places, and sports that are trying hard in a lot of ways, and I always use soccer and lacrosse as examples of them catching up, but at some point, kids are going to make money on this, or at least get free pizza.
I don't think anyone fully understands how much things will change. I think we're really in the early days, right? Like, it was easy for people to make the assumption that Miami is going to have a lot of boosters and a lot of NIL money. And through the transfer portal, you're going to, you know, there is a confluence of COVID and extra years and NIL money and all of these things coming together at once. That is totally crazy. I just think we're at the very beginning. Like, I don't think parents fully understand NIL money. And I don't think the world at large understands that. And to your point, it only takes one wealthy alumni who played field hockey to like set that university's field hockey team on a path of, you know, dominance in these lesser sports, right? So it'll be wild, man. I mean, it's, you know, it is, I don't know, we're all screwing our kids up, but, you know, like, it's yet to be seen whether we're doing massive damage or just mild damage.
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. He does things. I see all these solar fields in places I've been lately. You can find him at Cole Roofing. I certainly can find him out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. His logo, like all of ours, looks a lot better out on the website than we really look at 7 a.m. when we record these things. All right. It's been a month since you and I got together. Lamar, who are we drafting? How are the Orioles going to be? When are we going to a game? Dude, I'll say this. I mean, I don't think I've had you on since early April because of our schedules and your kids and this and that and whatever. The Ravens over the last month, rarely have they had a month where they could go from we might win five games if Lamar's not here to we're definitely winning the Super Bowl. And somewhere in there is the truth, right? But then there's the business side of what we just saw transpire with a player who, I don't want to call him a bad actor, but certainly didn't feel like he was aligned. His chakras were aligned with the organization and the organization was aligned with him. And yet through it all, after all of it, got the richest contract in the history of the league. And by the way, Lee Steinberg's on the show next week. I'm sure he'll be talking about Patrick Mahomes now being the seventh highest paid quarterback. And this is the way this works. But it has been a fascinating month for Baltimore sports, whether it's Yenny or Cano, whether it's the Orioles and Adley Rutschman, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, Rocky Sin, like any of this stuff, sports is really relevant. In my world, again, our traffic's up, the fan is setting records, and yeah, like all of this stuff, people are engaged again, and they kind of want to – I walked into Costas, no music on. It's the game, Ben McDonald, everybody watching the game on a Monday night. Hey, you know, I like that. I built a world around that 30 years ago. I thought that was never going to go away. It's coming back.
I definitely have to admit, I mean, if people want to go back and watch the actual coverage of whatever the last time you and I talked, I mean, I think there was like a 0.5% chance that Lamar was coming back at that point. Like, I was pretty floored that it took the turn it did. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have been because
neither one had any options.
Yeah, I don't know where
I mean,
else
you know, if I'm writing about it, neither one had an option. The Ravens' option was not to piss him off five more months and make, you know, they have a salary cap. They're going to spend the money either way. He's just going to get more of it. I mean, literally. I mean, people are like, Steve's rich. They have a salary. They have a number. You know, whether they give it to him or the left tackle, they gave it to him. because they couldn't live without him. And they lost the negotiation. They were negotiating against themselves. There was no other party involved, as we understand it. Not at that level.
Right. Well, there was no way that you were ever going to get tangible value in a trade that made sense. Like maybe if there was a real desperate team, maybe, but Cleveland was already, spoken for. So
hold on. If you think Lamar Jackson's going to win the Super Bowl for you, you're not desperate. You're serious. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, if anybody else thought he was the answer, why would the Colts run around with it? By the way, the kid the Colts drafted, I've seen this online. Greg Doyle, who's a bit of a negative, he's an honest guy. He's a real journalist, but like, he would be quick to say that I think this guy sucks if he thought he sucked. Anthony Richardson came to camp this weekend in Indianapolis and won everybody over, and he's the number four pick. And we were wondering, like, why did the – I don't know how his career – the next 3 years it'll be measured whether Anthony, whether any of the top quarterbacks are the next Baker Mayfield or the next Patrick Mahomes, right? But none of them thought Lamar was the guy, because if they did, they just would have given him $50 million the way Steve did, right? I mean
right. –
Because everybody around here thinks they're winning the Super Bowl now.
It is funny how fast it turns like that. I mean, we're going to have to win the Super Bowl like 52-41, I think, or something like that. But then again, maybe not. I mean, do we have the highest paid quarterback and the highest paid linebacker?
Like, yes.
Okay, so I don't know how the math works. Like, so, but we have linemen, right? We just don't have any defensive linemen, or we don't have, we have old corners.
No, hey, listen, I'm not here. I think that they are constructed to be very, very good this year.
I think so too. I don't get it. I don't know.
Will their quarterback be good enough? Will the scheme be good enough? Will the execution be good enough?
No. It's how many
are they going to throw the ball 42 times a game? Are they going to run? Is their quarterback going to get broken in half running into linebackers 12 times a game? I don't know. I don't know. I know what I've seen before, which is we've had a quarterback that can't get on the field in December for 3 years now, and they just gave him the bank. And now the next, not this year, but there's going to come a point where they're going to have to pay the bill for a $72 million cap number on him a couple of years from now, which is what they have. And he's going to have to play like Joe Burrow. There's not going to be any more like he throws a pick and costs the team the Giants game, which he did last year. I remember what happened to Joe Flacco after he got the money and we had a parade. We had a parade and gave him the money and he was the village idiot. And I just think this Lamar thing, Lamar's got to go out and be great every single week, win every single game, make every single pass. And I don't know that I've seen that football player the last 3 years. I don't know that I've seen that guy.
My favorite comment that people make is, now that he's paid, he's going to really do well. And it's like, maybe, but most of the time after they get paid, like maybe the drive's not there quite as much anymore and things kind of wane a little bit and they're never as good as the season right before they sign the contract. So I get worried about all that.
He put $72.5 million in the bank last Thursday. $72.5 million in that was the biggest signing bonus in the history of the league. He put 70. You know what I mean? Now, this is a kid that already had $20, $30 million, right? So I don't – and he's a pretty humble kid. Like, he really is. I mean, I'm not anti-Lamar at all.
Me neither.
As a human, any of this. I'm not even anti how he negotiated. But as a fan, it leaves me a little chilly. You know, he held the whole organization hostage. And he won. And he won big. And now he's going to go out on the field and you've paid to be there and you got the jerseys and all this. And now it's Super Bowl or bust. And that's where they put, and that's okay. I mean, Steve would tell you that's the way it should be. Right. But then they got to go do it. And then I have to say, do I think he's going to beat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers or Justin Herbert? I think it's hard for any of these guys.
It really is. It's the model has existed for a while. You have a short window, right, until you get whacked with all the high cap numbers for everybody. So you got to have two or three almost all pro guys that are on their rookie deals, right? You can have three or four who are like veteran retreads that nobody really wanted, so you can pay them probably below market.
Justin Houston. I'll go through all these guys,
Yeah.
right? I can
I mean,
name the
you
names of
can
the guys you're
the
talking about, right?
exactly the recipe is there, you know, but if your first round draft pick isn't pressing the edge of an all pro, right, then you just don't do it. If your left tackle goes down, you just don't do it. If your tight ends don't contribute, you just don't do it. You know what I mean? Like the recipe is so exact that it, look, if you don't put the sugar in the cake, it's not edible. And that is what happens to us. You know, we get an injury. I mean, I always, the one that is seared in my head forever is the Elvis Gerback, right? You know, year after the Super Bowl. Like we knew we won the year before. It's like, God, this will be easy. Look at all the pieces we added. We should definitely win back to back. And I think Searcy goes down in training camp, and you know, it was just, it
Jamal.
was, yeah, like it just never, you know, never materialized. And it's like, okay, it is very fragile. Very seldom is there a guy on your bench who's going to step on the field, you know, and perform at the level of the
Nick
guy. Now,
Foles.
they're all pretty good at that, right? They're all pretty good at making sure that the best possible guy is the one on the field. So I don't know. I get a little concerned for him, and like guys in the future looking at what Lamar did and not taking an agent. And I mean, I think there were deals that are probably more lucrative for him in the future that are never going to come, you know, whether it's a shoe deal or a clothing deal, you know, like he's got his own stuff and he's going to hoe the road that way. That's fine. And I'm usually a cut the middleman out kind of guy like that. I do think there's too much middle people in our universe that put friction around deals or raise the price of stuff unnecessarily. But in this case, when you're the, you know, ex, you know, former MVP, highest paid quarterback in the league, to not have a team that is maximizing that is, to me, is just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But maybe he'll tell you he
Odell
does
Beckham's come
anyway.
to town since you and I got together last time, right? And
Yeah,
they
well.
drafted a wide. I mean, talk about using resources, right? I mean, you run a company at Cole Roofing. I run a company. I've had resources and capital and money and where you are. And we all have a salary cap one way or another. We all have a budget that, and if you don't stick to it, you don't have a business, right? So, and an obligation to be profitable, as Steve Bisciotti once said. But Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, that they have put real resources into allowing Lamar to throw the football better, giving him more time to throw the football. Now, how well he'll throw it, how well they'll execute it, that is the I keep going back to the fact that no other team wanted this kid. Like twice now. He's been on the market twice and just said, does anybody want me? And the only ones that wanted him are them. So I hope he does feel the love. I hope he does fall in line. I hope he's happy with his money. I hope that there's no focus on anything but football for him, right? But I've also witnessed what's going on here, and I've never really been convinced he's the best quarterback. I think he's exciting. He's one of one, but I don't think quarterbacks can run into linebackers and play football in December. And well, I'm two for two, and I'm not a dumb guy. And I think they're not dumb either. And I think Steve is like, well, we're going to give them all this money. They're going to break him in two at some point. We just got to hope it's not the first year or the second year.
You look, at a minimum, again, my biggest regret was that during the negotiation, I didn't go buy a ticket that had the Ravens like 60 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, because I'm assuming the day after he signed, it probably dropped to like 8 to 1. So I could have had that ticket. So that was my biggest regret. And that is the truth, right? I mean, you drop him in there, it's all different now. So that makes it exciting and fun. You know, I don't mind being wrong. You know, it's
You
okay.
got anything on the Orioles? Are you gonna be right or wrong? I mean, I'll say this right now. They're gonna make the playoffs, right? I mean,
Yeah, I'm still a good 3 weeks away, 3 to 4 weeks away from
you're a
paying
Memorial
any
Day guy,
attention
are
to
you?
that.
Are you okay?
Probably. I mean, I am aware of it. I unfortunately have not figured out where that fits into my life
They're
and
playing the
attention
Pittsburgh
span.
Pirates in big games this weekend, Bill. Come on, get with it.
I get it. I look, you know, I mean, my love for them never wanes, but trying to fit them into my attention span
It's
when
sort of
they
like
have
your
been
cousins.
absent.
It's like your cousins. You
Yeah.
love them, you just don't see them that often.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. And like there was no reason to see them for a long time. So now my whole life has to change. I mean, like
Now
I spend time.
they move back to Carroll County, and you want to hang out with them on
Right.
holidays.
I spend time watching the F1 race in Miami this past weekend,
Did you
not the
really?
Oriole game. Not the
Well,
Oriole game, the
your
F1
old
race.
man's way in the car. I mean, your family's been in the cars, right? First and foremost, that's a passion in your family, right?
I have never been a car guy my whole life. F1 is not cars. It's so much more than cars. And it's the spectacle and it's the
It's
technology
like
and it's the
Kentucky Derby.
characters.
It's not really about the
Yes.
horses.
Yes. Yes.
It's about the hats.
Not as bad as Kentucky Derby because that really is sort of, I don't know. I guess if you're in the horse training business, you know what goes into it, but
But it's also
this
Southern, it's cultural, it's
the F1 it is
historic.
an extravaganza, and that always shocks me. And like when you watch it, they're like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, they were in Baku, Azerbaijan,
Right.
right? Like I would have never seen that before. I didn't even know that existed. Like that looks like a really nice place to go. I doubt I'll ever get there, but it looks like a nice place to go. And then you layer on the technology and the fact that the cars aren't all the same. And that, like, you know, all these engineers are working to make their car like half a second faster as it not goes around in a circle, not goes in a straight line for a quarter mile, but actually goes around like a road track that has slow corners and fast corners and
Like the thing we had
straightaways.
in
And
Baltimore, yes, right? Like,
yeah, it is, it's pretty, it's, I don't know, it pushes a lot of buttons for me. And it's definitely picking up steam. So,
oh, there's no question about that.
yeah,
There's
I
no
mean, it
question about
is.
that. I don't know anything about it, but I've just spent more time talking to you about it with more intrigue,
Right.
than I
I
have to
mean,
at least put it on.
if you'd have seen the show in Miami, you'd be scratching your head. You know, 340,000
I
people
have people that
over
were there. I know a lot of
3 days.
people that were there. My buddy David Katz was there. I'm gonna have to call him and get him on now.
Yeah. You
Katz man do. I'll do
should
that.
do a deep dive on that. We should figure out what the heck's going
All
on
right, I'm
there.
putting Katz on my list here. Hold on. Anybody knows David Katz? Tell him I'm looking for him. I'll text him. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He has to go. But anything you want to say in regard to a roofing or energy here this summer as energy bills go up? By the way, I've enjoyed the last couple of weeks of kind of gnarly weather because we had the window half open. We've had the air. You know, we've been saving a little bit of money on energy here since we got back. And I figured that's the number one thing about Hawaii was that like you didn't ever have to have the air conditioner on because the wind's blowing.
Yeah, Hawaii is an interesting solar place because they pay so much for electricity that it was like a no-brainer. Hawaii was one of the first places. Like we never did any work, but friends of mine were
On these
doing work out
hills in
there.
Hawaii, it's all solar and it's beautiful. It's palm trees and whatever. And I don't want to say it blends in or doesn't blend in. It's a little reflective, but I look at it and say, oh, they're out here in the middle of the ocean and they're using the sunshine, which is what they do. They're the rainbow state, to, you know, call energy. And I thought, okay, that's still didn't bring down the cost of like the macadamia nuts, but no problem, you know, but it helps a little bit.
You know, look, it's as the weather breaks, we get busier and busier. Solar's good. If you don't know, you should look into it. And you know, commercial roofing is definitely something people should be planning for. Do some maintenance, extend the life of that roof. That's always my suggestion.
All right, can I get you out for a crab cake at some point, please?
Yeah, we'll make it happen. We'll
All
make
right.
it happen.
All right. I miss Bill Cole. I miss all my friends. They're here. We're going to be celebrating 25 years. Here's what. Okay, I'm going to give you this. My 25th anniversary is August 3rd and 4th. We're doing the shows those days at Drug City and at Costas and Dundalk. And what I want to do is try to bring people like you that you ain't never been to Drug City. Maybe you've been to Costas for crabs or whatever. But we're going to bring some folks down to Dundalk for my 25th anniversary. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I need to get to Drug City. I need to see what this is all about.
Well, I planned Drug City to do my birthday party on October the 13th, but since we began this broadcast, the Ravens have decided to play the Titans, not in Nashville, which has pissed everybody off, and they're going to play the Titans now in London. So No cowboy hats for you.
Oh,
No
bloody
strip,
hell.
none of that, right? I mean, I know Dennis is going to be really disappointed because he talked out loud about this. But since we began this segment, the news broke on the Coons Baltimore 4 WNST tech service. So now my birthday in Drug City, I may be in London, like hanging out at Royal Albert Hall on my birthday. So maybe that'll be it. All right.
All right, man. Sounds
I'll get a
good.
$99 flight to Azerbaijan. Maybe Roger Waters is playing that night. He is Bill Cole. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Orioles, Ravens, Luke's around. I'm around. The Preakness is in town. Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. It is all coming to you all month long. Let me get my little hat out, have some fun. And we're going to be this week at State Fair on Friday, week after next, 23rd at the local in Fallston. We are coming to so many places. I'm lining it all up in June. I don't want to give it away, but we're coming to Halethorpe. We're coming to Wilkins Avenue over there by St. Joe that some people might know about as well. Anne Arundel County, Harford County, Carroll County on the hook. I got a charity event happening there. I'm on the phone with Greenmount Station because I miss those crab cakes because they're delicious. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking crab cakes and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.